This is Penny Bell interviewing Alan Peckett for the dialect survey in Borrowby, 7th of July 2022. So,
yes.
So we'll start with some picture cards, Alan, because I've not done this before.
Hedgehog.
You'd call that a hedgehog. Yep.
Yep. It's a long legs, it's not a crane fly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a earwig. That's sticky grass.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What's that?
It's just a dewdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's bread.
Oh, right, it. Bread bun.
Yeah.
Scones. Scones. Scallionians, then.
That's what are they doing?
Is piggybacking.
Yeah.
Seesaw.
Complete this sentence that you'd use in conversation. So he asked me to fix it, and I said,
yeah, possibly.
Yeah, or if you didn't want to, you'd say, he asked me to fix it, and I said,
no, I can't. But,
yeah. Or if it's a bit stronger than that, if you didn't really wanted to tell them where to go.
Let me amend it.
Right, okay. That'll do.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that will do. I don't really understand that one. And this is when you're describing some food, how it was. If you were saying the food was, we're looking for the, before the word tasty, so the food was something tasty.
Oh, it's lovely, oh, very.
Very tasty, you would say, yes. Okay, that's those. Right, my next thing. In the questionnaire, where they're speaking to your grandfather, they do ask him all about the farm, and they ask him certain words about the animals, what you would call them, like what animal gives you milk?
Cow, yeah.
And what's its young animal when it's just born called?
Calf.
Yeah. And when they're all together, male and female?
Well, a herd, I suppose.
Okay. And when you take the calf away from its mother's milk?
It's spained.
Okay.
Right, yes.
Yeah?
From its mother's milk, yes.
And what was the word you used?
Spained.
Right. A female, when it stops being a calf, becomes a...
heifer.
Mm-hmm. And if a cow is ready for service, you would say she is...
in season, or in heat.
Yeah.
In season, maybe you use heat for a dog, I think.
Yeah. If she calves before her time...
she's premature.
Okay, not she'd slipped her calf, no. No. Doesn't really matter.
Well, that's...
I'm just trying to get something to get us going on our chatting here.
Well, you say she slipped her calf on, I said that was a dead calf she was having.
Right, okay.
Rather than calved early.
Yeah. Can you remember much about the cart horse that your dad had?
Yes.
Can you tell me much about the cart horse? It was big.
It had big feet. See, it spit on my brother's chest once when I was in his chest.
Yeah.
And left an impression of its hoof on his chest. But obviously, it didn't stand full on as it had killed him.
But
that was a long time ago. I mean, we used to ride it back. Oh, I can remember riding it back from Hornby, from where I had it pulling wood out, to bring it back to do some farming with, probably for potatoing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis and I rode it back from Ormby over the top, getting on the... and to get on the gate, climb up the gate to jump back onto us. We couldn't both get off together, and he wouldn't get off.
Right.
So that to me that got down the normal gates.
Right. And... did you have to, with a cart horse, do you have to groom it the way you do a normal horse and brush it, or do they look after themselves?
Well, that's what you should do, really, but I don't know the way I ever did. I can't remember him doing it. My dad maybe did sometimes, but I can't remember him. I mean, it was just to catch it in field and bring it in when it was, well, it was Hornby. Just catch it and bring it up and yoke it up.
And I said earlier that they used them for forestry as well.
So. Yeah, that's another Hornby. When we took it to Hornby to pull the wood out.
Right.
To this then, it was quite often it was him that went with us, and we'd go and say, catch it. And then it put the barfen on, and it was only just a chain really that you pulled it with. It wasn't a rope, it wasn't, we didn't have a fancy little bogey or anything.
What's the barfen?
They're on its neck.
What's that?
Oh, it's,
I don't know
the big collar.
Oh, okay.
The one that's...
The old paddy. Cart horses wore.
Yeah.
That's called a barfin.
I call it a barfin, yeah.
Right.
And then it's... what's the metal bits called? I think the hams. When you put it on, you have to put it on upside down, and then you put it on, and then turn it round when you get it on its neck.
Okay.
And then the pointy bits stick up, and they have the hooks on it where you fasten the chain. You know, to go down either side of its body, and then you just have a flat bit of wood or whatever, and the rope or chain tied from there to tie to your tree.
And so have they felled the trees first?
Oh, yeah.
What were they doing that with?
Well, when they first started, they just used an axe and a saw.
Mm-hmm.
The big ones would use a cross-cut saw, and then one at either side would saw it. But if they were just little ones, they would use a Bowman's
mm-hmm.
saw and saw it down with that after they chopped a bit with axe.
Mm-hmm.
You chopped a bit so as you made a point or a wedge which way it wanted to fell it.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually, well, you fell it so that if it landed uphill, you could pull it down a little easier because you pulled them from fat end when you put them onto us. You went on its thickest end rather than at pointy end of a tree
mm-hmm.
to pull it down and then drag it either to the bottom or to where it was going to go on a wagon
mm-hmm.
to get it away.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't. Well, I don't really remember him sawing them up in as such up it would, but he must have sawed them up into lengths that he wanted, either like 10 foot, 12 foot lengths. Or 6 foot, 5 foot for the stakes.
So it was all going for fence posts, or was it going for furniture making? Or?
Oh, they weren't furniture, it's not, it was only soft. Well, thinnings out at forestry.
Okay.
So it was making rails or stakes or pit props.
Mm-hmm.
They sold a lot of pit props then.
Oh.
They were nearly always square. Was a pit props, but they would have used so many round ones, I don't think. Maybe my memory's a bit vague there, but I remember we used to have hundreds of pit props stacked up at down at Yard, down village.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
So which pits were they going to?
Mines.
Just the coal mines in the north? Or
yeah, whatever, yeah, whatever yeah. they wanted them.
Right.
But they were basically sort of 3 foot long. And they might have been bigger than forestry, they're probably 6 inches square. But that, again, it was just any sort of wood you could get that would be big enough to make a pit prop with, you used it for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you go on holidays at all as a child in the village?
No, we only went for a day to the seaside. Sunday school.
How did you get there?
Went at Charon, bus. We used to go to Redcar. I don't remember us going to Scarborough.
Did your mother go?
I presume she would go with us with Sunday school, but I don't know. She used to go, or we used to go to wreck her father, and sometimes took us to Land Rover or van or whatever we had, and then mother would go. Sometimes Auntie Margaret went with us. I can remember going with my Auntie Minnie to, must be the Saltburn, I think. Oh no, I maybe no Redcar, and then I come home and tell them, and then others had to go. So next thing we were on bus, and mother and Auntie Margaret, rest of the family went as well.
So your mother used to go into North Allerton. This was maybe before you, you know, when you before you were born, or maybe.
Oh yeah, well,
with her baskets. Can you describe her, what you remember of that?
Going with butter baskets, they were sort of quite big wickerwork baskets, weren't they? I mean, anyway, yeah. And she'd have her butter in.
Had she made the butter? Had she made the butter?
Yeah, they made it at home. I can remember them churning the butter. We had a glass churn, and put it in there. It would maybe hold a gallon. And you made that, churned it away, and then got it out when it was made into butter.
How much butter would a gallon of milk make?
I don't really know. You just, they got it out and just made it into pats. And I'd just square it, and I suppose they'd make it to a pound, I don't think, or half a pound. Yeah. It'd be half a pound, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be a pound, no. That's quite a big lump, it's a pound.
Yeah. And so they made the butter. What did they wrap it in?
That wasn't actually wrapped as such. It just sat on a piece of greaseproof paper, and then that's how you put it. You didn't fold it up as such. I can't remember them folding.
And so they carried that on the bus like that.
Yeah, they put it into the basket.
Right.
So then some of it would get folded down when they put, because they'd have maybe a couple of layers of it.
Yeah.
And then they'd have the spots where they would sell it, which was all organised beforehand. I can remember going to the butchers, but where else they sold it, I don't know. They'd have the parts where certain ones would take it to one spot and one would another.
And once they'd sold it, what else would they do on a market day? Where would they put their basket?
Well, they'd leave the basket in the butchers while they off went off shopping with another one, and then when they come back, they'll put the full basket in and take one of the empty ones and go and do some more shopping. And then when they got time to get back on the bus, the baskets would just be there where your bus would stop. I say we as kids would be hanging on and filling them out, but not doing much good or much help, but more.
Was it good butter to eat?
It was always salty. No, I didn't particularly like it. Well, I didn't tell my grannies. I went up there and had it on a scone or a bit of tea cake or something. But it was always too salty, I thought. We must not have been having it at home. We must have been having bought butter by then at home. I can remember us making some at home now and again. But it wasn't a regular thing as such at Britain's house. Not Britain's house. At Council House. I think she had much to do with my mother making butter.
So, did your dad make his hams that he did every year when you were at the Council House as well at Britain's House?
Yeah, he didn't make
cottage. So how many hams did he make a year? Not make, produce.
Produced, yeah. Well, most I seem to remember him, he killed four pigs. There was once, I seem to remember. So that would be eight hams he would have there. I don't remember him actually having any more than that.
And how did what did he do? So kill the pigs.
Kill the pig.
Keep the hams, the back legs to make hams with.
Yes, but he kept the front legs as well. That was still tied to the piece of bacon. So you'd have a back leg and a side of bacon and then the front leg. And then you rub salt into it, into the skin. Both on the belly and front legs and on the back leg. Then you put salt down the shank, and you used to put a bit of brown sugar down the hams. Some used to put saltpeter in, but I think he maybe did to start with, but then later on he didn't use any saltpeter. That used to make it a bit bitterer, the ham by all accounts. And then we just put it in the long dairy and put salt on it. And used to use a bit of stick to wedge them apart so they would get a bit of air between, but not that much. And then after so many days, a week or 10 days, something like that, you take all that salt off and then put some more on and then leave them again for so long. Again, probably another week or 10 days. Then you got them out, wash them up, and then they hung up to dry.
Whereabouts?
Well, I don't really know where he hung up down at Britain's house, not at Britain's, at the council house, because you couldn't really get in the attic. So just where it used to hang them there, I don't know. I don't remember him being in front room or anything like that, but maybe hung them in, well, not in the living room, rather, maybe hung them in front room or somewhere like that, somewhere to dry. Or he could have took them down to buildings and hung them there. It was somewhere as long as it was dry and not over hot. But then at home, we used to dry in the back kitchen. When we got to Britain's house, driving the back kitchen there on the exposed woodwork beams, where there was nail hooks and things on them there. And then after so long, when he decided that they were all right, not going off or anything, we took them into the attic and store them up there. But the hams, he mostly sold them. We only maybe ever kept part of one. We as kids didn't get it. It was very rare. Barnaby Shaw, we used to have a piece of ham, but we would have the bacon and the shoulders. Mm-hmm. They say we'd sell hams because they were worth money, more money.
What else can I ask you about?
I think I always used to give the pig when we killed it. I mean, we had no deep freeze or anything then, so you had to eat it. So we tended to give bits to the neighbours. They got bits, I suppose, as your friends would. You'd give them bits of bits of the pork. But the way you see the lean bits of pork was the last bits we had. You salt them down. So you had your black currants, black puddings, your scraps and spare ribs and chine and all them things. You had all them not eaten. And then the last bit you got was a bit of nice lean meat, usually in a pie. Mm-hmm. That was like a proper pork pie, then it was just pork.
Smoking and snuff. I remember when I first came to Borrowby that the old boys in the pub were still doing snuff.
Yes, it was stuff. Yeah, it was regular.
Yeah. And did you as children, were you all smoking or what was...?
No, not really till I was 10 or 12. Well, no.
And where would you get hold of your cigarettes? Could you buy them individually or...?
No, you'd have to scrounge them off somebody or pinch them off your father. But he used to smoke, well, at Woodbines, and if he had plenty of money, he would smoke senior service. But it was nearly always Woodbines, it was just little things. You remember pinch one of them now and again. Mm-hmm. But, no, I mean, can't remember anybody older giving you a cigarette. The only one, there was a lad who worked for Ken Wiseman and come on a motorbike. He would be sort of 17 or 18. He would sometimes give you a cigarette in the village when we were down at the council house. But, he's what, I've forgotten his name now. But,
And pipes, did the older farmers smoke pipes?
Oh, my father always had.
He had a pipe as well.
John Arcarigio was always had a pipe. Yeah. And nearly everybody that come to our house, uncles and, I was going to say aunties, but they didn't smoke pipes. Uncles and cousins, they nearly always smoked a pipe. It was, who could make more smoothy stowaway with them at times. It was sometimes have a cigar at Christmas or every now and again with my dad. But again, that wasn't a regular thing.
And alcohol? Like, would your mother have a glass of something at Christmas or...? Or not your mother, just women, or just what were the habits of...
I don't remember any women having any drink, really. Except my auntie Minnie used to have... I don't know what it was now. It was just for medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when she came to stop with us, but it was not barley wine. A sweet sherry, I think. I don't know whether I don't even call it port wine, whether they had that. But no, they didn't have enough to drink. My mother, I suppose, when she went out with father, she probably would have some spirit or something, but...
I'm trying to think about what... Could you tell us about pastimes? when you were a child or a teenager?
Well, we all learned to play cards. We'd all play dominoes and cards when we were kids. And we used to go to Wistrand as soon as we were deemed big enough or sensible enough. We'd go to Nathan and Upsall and anywhere to the whist drives and play whist. Usually on a Friday night, there was nearly always one on somewhere. And then often there was a dance following them. So as we got on later on in life, we would go to whist drive and then stopped at dance. Or not bother going to whist drive and go to dance afterwards. But again, there was nearly always... One in one of the villages, round about, there was a dance to keep you busy on a weekend.
And how do you think Borreby has changed in your lifetime? Has it changed?
Well, there's more people here now. I don't know. I can't remember anybody as many people as I used to do. Again, because when we were kids, there wasn't many people swapped houses. You didn't really get anybody new coming in much. I don't remember that, you know, but there probably was. But and again, because we delivered newspapers, we knew who everybody was. There wasn't hardly anybody. Well, I can't remember anybody in the village that I didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now there's half of them I wouldn't know. I recognise them and say, well, I've seen you in the pub and such like. But trying to put them, match them together is hopeless at times.
Mm.
I keep asking Graham now, who's that? Then I try to match the woman to the fella. And it didn't, can't always work it.
So you've been a builder, really, since leaving school. And...
Yeah, I wanted to be an electrician. I went to college to be an electrician, electrical engineering. I had a year at that at college. And then I started for Harry Witt Thirsk in the electrics. Well, that only lasted about 3 or 4 months, and then I got the DCM. I was on £5 a week there, half a crown, eight hours a day, half a crown an hour, pound a day. Then I was just saying to Mike West, I worked at Sack Factory after that, after in the new year, sort of January, February, but again, not very long. And then come late spring, that's when I started for Jack Wood, as being his builder. So I've been a builder ever since. Or in the building trade, yeah.
Mm.
I worked for 7 years for Jack Wood and then 7 years for Borough Builders, and then the rest of the time for myself. We're on now, are we?
Yeah.
And you couldn't have your jelly and ice cream. Oh, I don't know if it'd be ice cream then. I can't really remember whether it was ice cream or not. Sammy's in and play games. One sort and another.
And where was this party?
In the village hall.
Is that what you called it?
Oh, institute. Village institute then.
Yeah.
It's a hall now, yeah. Yeah, they were running it, and all the kids in the village came up to a certain age, I don't know just what. And then when you left, you got an apple and an orange and a little toy. I can remember Mrs. Roundtree giving them out. She gave them out for the years that I was. She was probably one of the oldest ladies in the village then, when I was a kid. And then eventually when village hall committee altered and one thing or another, we did have a few parties then for a year or two, but then they dropped off. And I can remember my mother giving his presents out when kids left. Just a little bit of pencil sharpener. Well, when I was a kid, you got a pencil sharpener or something like that. It wasn't worth a lot, but it was summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the apple and the orange was the orange definitely was. We didn't have them as kids, really. Or once in a blue moon, you saw one of them. So to get one at Christmas was like giving somebody a gold bar. Or it felt like it when you were a kid, anyway. We used to have pears at home. When pears was ready. But one of our trees at back, they were hard as obzel, and then once, as soon as they got soft, they went brown in the middle, so you were no good to eat then. You had to get them straight away, and they were quite juicy, but mother would boil them, you know, stewed pears. And then I'll bottle some, and you could have them later on at year. But my Uncle Morris used to bring some from his tree at Kilrington, and they were really big pears. I forget what this name was for the tree, the pears. It's on his gable end now on Gate Farm. Still at still there at Gravel End now. They were a treat when you got them. They were really juicy. You didn't get very much. You cut one into eight, a pair, and then there'd be a bit of paste for us all, and then one bit spare.
Borrowby as a village has lots of apple trees in it, doesn't it? I think historically it grew quite a lot of apples.
All right, yeah.
And then also Britain's House and Britain's Row and Weaver's Cottage. Do you know anything about the history of what was going on there?
Well, and our house was supposedly the boss house for the linen trade, and the cottages below us was... Well, Weaver's Cottage and all the rest of them worked for whoever was boss of our house then. And there was a door between each supposedly between each house. So you went down like from ours. I know there's in our passage wall there's a gap where the door used to be, where you could go next door. And I presume there's another one further on, but again I don't know for definite. I haven't been to other houses to know whether it actually was a house. It was a door through, but definitely was between us and next door.
So it was linen weaving that Borreby was known for, was it?
Yeah, that's what our house was, yeah. Oh. I mean, it's called Weaver's Cottage. I don't know whether they used to weave linen or what, but...
Yeah.
That's definitely what our house was supposed to be. It's, again, there must have had something happening in the attic. Must store some up there, because again, there's a door out of the gable end where they would obviously load carts or whatever down up gable end down onto drive. I mean, there's still a big crooked wall there.
Yeah, be interesting to know more about that, wouldn't it? Have to investigate.
Well, there's the fireman's plaque on the wall outside to say that it was insured. So when the fire brigade come, if you hadn't got one of these plaques on, it depended whether they put your fire out or not. Apparently so. I don't know what they did, but they reckon that if you didn't have one of these plaques on, fire brigade wouldn't put your fire out. Because the insurance company wouldn't be paying them or whatever.
Where was the nearest fire station when you were growing up?
I just know there was one in Borough, one in the Thallon and Thusk, as far as I know. Yeah.
But you had a policeman in the village.
There was a policeman in the village, yeah. He was always there as long as I can remember. I presume they would build his police house at similar time as they built the council houses, which was sort of 48, 49, 50, 51, somewhere in there. Ours was built in... it was finished, we moved in 50. Frank lived at Kilvington, or he was born at Kilvington, and they lived there for a few years till the house was ready.
Right.
I don't know whether we actually had running water when we first moved in. Whether that was in the village then or not. But I can remember coming to use the pumps up the village to get water and carry it down, but why? I don't know.
When did these pumps stop being used? Because there's one at the top and one halfway down the village.
Well, there was one between Towns and Jim Smith. That's the one I can remember there. I don't remember anyone any lower down. Not an actual pump.
Right.
And then there was a pump at the top where, and then one round the corner there.
Oh.
Outside. Not where Dickie lives now. On the corner before you go down the bank. Somebody told me that just had a pipe that went down to that spring that comes out of the bank side again, Wilf's there. That the pipe just went to there and was sucked water from there. But again, I don't know that for definite truth.
Hmm.
Well, I can definitely remember coming with Father to prime that pump outside of Townsend's. You had to put a bit of water in to start with to make it work to prime it. And then but why were we doing that? I don't know, whether we were just taking it to the beast or what, I can't remember.
Well.
Is that filled you up?
I think so. I don't know, unless you can think of anything in particular that you think would be interesting to talk about or tell us.
Then was it when they went, or when we went to Seaside, Mother used to like playing bingo. Then she used to sit and play bingo on the stalls while we had going with pennies and slots and things. I remember that. She used to fill her time in with. That fish and chip wagon coming on and on again around the village.
Oh, yes. And anything else come around the village?
Well, the buses and... there was buses from Thallet and Amherst, and there was Monday, Wednesday and Saturdays. But all the trades vans used to come round. There was two or three different butchers' vans and the bread vans. Lemonade man used to come.
I've just found some questions I need to ask you.
All right.
For the record, where did you grow up?
In Borrowby.
And that's where you spent the majority of your childhood and teenage years?
All of them.
Where do you live now?
In Borrowby, Britain's House.
Yeah. Where did your parents grow up?
I presume my father was always at Kilmington and my mother was at Borrowby.
Yeah. Okay, we've done the picture cards. Right, what do you call the room in the house where you store food?
Pantry.
If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
hungry, starving.
What words do you use for something to eat?
Scran, food.
Okay.
Nosh.
What do you call... this one's a bit of a modern one. What do you call a coffee you might get from a cafe with lots of milk in it?
Oh, latte, aren't they?
Well done. What's the dairy product that you spread on toast and sandwiches?
That's butter.
Which word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game when points cannot be scored?
Well, it's a rest half time.
Mm. If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
scrubbed, gashed.
Okay. If you got covered in dirt...
Raised.
What was the last one?
Grazed.
If you got covered in dirt at the playground, when you get home, you might need to get in the...
Well, you wouldn't get in the bath in another hour, but that's why you wouldn't get in.
What would you have gotten in your house?
Get a flannel and give it a rub with that.
Right. Why wouldn't you get in the bath?
Well, probably no hot water would be as a good excuse as any.
Okay. When children are very excited, you might say they are full of...
what would I say? Excitement, daftness, energy, yeah.
At the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you were absolutely...
knackered.
Yeah. Which word would you use to mean not attending school?
Well, you're playing truant, aren't you? Well, truant, I suppose.
Sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. What do you call this mysterious person?
Well, what would I call him? Bogeyman, I suppose.
You grow crops and raise animals on a...
farm.
When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in...
well, damp moss. Damp moss. Mud.
When driving in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are...
slippy.
Which word do you use as a term of endearment?
Love. Oh, good.
Even with strangers?
Yeah, love, you'd say. Yeah, love, my dear.
Mm-hmm. Which word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive?
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh, bonny.
What is your word for spreading rumours?
Gossip.
A picture not hanging straight is hanging...
skew with.
What do you call a very small piece of wood that has got into your finger?
Spell.
What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler.
And do you have any other words you'd like to tell us about?
Any other ones? No, I don't know.
What do you call a rabbit when you... when we start rabbit shooting and that rabbit wasn't... They were alive tonight. They were always... well, if it wasn't quite dead. There was a word you and John Thompson always used. You'd always say it was wick.
Oh, wick, yeah.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, it's still alive, yeah.
It's alive.
It's alive, yeah.
But so you also call couchgrass wicks, don't you? So is that...
Well, they're wiccans.
Is that because they're alive and spreading? I've always tried to work that one
out. Yeah, well, I don't know how it comes. If you say it's wick, it means it's still alive, yes. If one of the rabbits was flicking about and you say it's wicked, you have to kill it again, yeah. Or make sure it was dead.
There's another word you used. If they didn't hang about and they moved quickly. It's out of context, you don't come out with the words, do you?
All right.
You'd always say they're glib.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
What did that mean? I never understood what you really meant when you used these words.
Well, I suppose glib was fast and sharp. Yeah. Glib speech is just off-handed speech, isn't it?
Oh. And one more before I stop recording. If something's a bit frail and fragile, what do you call that?
Tender?
No. You know. Frail, it'll...
Oh, burst, break it. Fragile. Femur?
Yeah. What does that mean then?
Well, again, it's not very strong. If you say somebody's a bit femur, you could soon upset them. Oh. Again, I would say they're not very strong if it's femur.
And so would that only be used about a person, or could it be used about an object as well?
Yeah, if someone wasn't really good, or if it's a bit feeble, a bit rocky, say, if you met someone, and it wasn't really going to be very strong, it would be a bit firmer. You wouldn't like to think you'd met someone that was a bit firmer.
No.
And better than that.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. I've just added those words because I knew that they were words you used.
All right, yeah.
Thank you, Alan. We'll stop recording.